Who do I have with me? I'd like to put somebody up. I need a caller. Any takers?
Hey, Tony, how about this one?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's your name?
JB.
JB, good to hear from you tonight. How you doing?
Well, I've been better, Tony.
Yeah, me too.
Tony, I think what we saw tonight was back a few years ago when Tennessee and Florida were the best teams in this league, it was like a league full of Chevrolets, and we really had Corvettes.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a league of Ferraris, and we're driving a Camry. And it just can't go, Tony. It can't go. Tony, I did some tabulation in the game tonight, and after the catastrophic failure of our kicking and special teams and the way we played in the first half, it was borderline miraculous that CP kept us in the game, which is what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
But we lost containment 14 times. 14 times. We had 18 missed or broken tackles, and I thought it was more than that, but that was all I tabbed. We had 13 loss of we bet on play action constantly. The linebackers were just lost. And 27 to 28 times we were out of position. That's a catastrophic failure that one, you know, you beg to ask, is the 3-4 simply a catastrophic failure? And the answer is yes. Tony, it seems to me that he's been weighing the balance and found one, and we all know that, not because he's a bad guy, although people around campus don't like him very much. I just don't think that when I was in boot camp, Tony, we were taught that survival is a very simple thing. It's a binary world, one or zero. You have to have the will to power, like Rollo May said, the will to power to win, become a one. If you lose, you're a zero. And we've got a guy who is our head coach who's not a one, he's about a half. He just is not big enough for the job. And it's a tragedy that we've come to the point where we're thinking like Vanderbilt and Kentucky. That's kind of where we are.
That's exactly right. I mean, did you find yourself? Yeah. Yeah. Did you find yourself at the end of tonight's game going, man, got to give our kids credit. They really hung in there.
Tony, it was kind of tragic because the throw to Bartholomew, who's a great kid that got it 34-31, and then after all the mistakes, we come out and we blow a couple of tackles, they get a first down, then a ball is thrown across the middle to Brewer, and he can't cover. And I say, you wonder, is it because the lack of buy-in, the lack of dedication, the lack of the idea that he really has sold them on an idea? I just don't see it.
I totally 5,000% agree with you.
Did you ever have a salesman who was trying to make you a pitch? The pitch didn't fit together?
Absolutely.
And he fell off his daddy's shoes. Tony, I think tonight was the down payment on Mama's big red Georgia Cadillac tonight, because the Brinks little rascal will be rolling soon, Tony.
I don't see any way it's not. You've been around here a long time. I mean, let's play the tape forward. Let's say Dave Hart comes out Monday.
Vote of confidence, which means he's a dead duck.
Okay, but let's say the other thing, which is the nuclear option, which is he's coming back here next year. You people need to stop it. Everybody on talk radio, cut it out. We're bringing him back. How many season tickets? Let's say I think they sold around 62,000, 63,000 this year. How many they sell next year, JB? You've been around here a long time.
Under that scenario?
Yes.
$35,000 or $40,000.
I agree with that.
That's it, and that
totally
shows you
agree.
Where we've shrunk. The team we saw tonight was the team that'll get the hell beat out of them by the leaders in this league. They'll beat the living hell out of this team.
Yeah.
We made Russell look like Joe Montana.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for our kids. Our linebackers are so lost,
mm-hmm.
and our secondary is so lost.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so ill-prepared for this defense that I knew they'd score a lot of points. I was just hoping and dreaming we would score enough to win. But I think when you have a loser's mentality, you lose. And that's what's developing over there. And that's a tragedy. Without CP, it is a blowout.
And here's the thing. People will say to you, well, come on, guys. They don't really have, and they haven't had. the material to compete. JB, I must be dumber than dirt, because tonight it looks to me like Tennessee had more material. In fact, they have a lot more material than Mississippi State. However, when you put it together, the whole doesn't add up. And where I come from, that's called coaching. I mean, at some point, you've got to say, what I'm doing schematically here defensively is not working. We had a whole off week, and that's what you come out with? That looked like a Chinese fire drill. They had 2 weeks.
The first half, it looked like the Oklahoma-Texas game, when Oklahoma just beating the hell out of them. And then in the second half, we did some things a little bit better, but it's never quite good enough. And as for him not having luck, Tony, you talk about it, and he has had atrocious luck. But, Tony, didn't we have a UAB coach kick 5 field goals, and we hadn't stopped him all day? And we ended up winning that ball game. And didn't we play Florida this year, and Jelani Jenkins and Cody Riggs and another starter weren't even playing on that club? He's had some luck, but he simply is, like I said, he's a Camry in a Ferrari league. And this is a Ferrari league now. Alabama's going to roll in. This may be one of the saddest days of my Tennessee life, to watch those clowns roll in here with their lunatic fans, and they will be they are lunatics. When they win, they become criminals, like our Harvey Updike and Brian Downing. They'll be criminals in town, and they're going to beat the living hell out of us, and we're just going to stand there and like it.
Well, and the worst part about it is, JB, it's going to happen in our stadium next weekend in front of about 60,000, let's not exaggerate, 45,000 Alabama fans. 45,000.
Anybody defends the present administration, I don't think anybody is. It reminds me of that grinning, goofy, Joe Biden was a drunk who was dried out for a few days so he could go on television, and he had that anti-abuse lunacy. Anybody defends this administration, our embassies are burning down, we're getting our people killed, we're losing, and he's, oh, it's fine, we're okay, we're good, we're working hard, but it's not good enough. A Camry can't win in a Ferrari race, and that's what we have to have. We have to have a home run. Our boys now are finding a way to lose, and that simply isn't going to work. It's a dynamic that won't go together, Tony. And so tell Precious that he can go see Mama soon, and he can go back down there, and he'll have a lot of money. Buy Mama some new red. If she won't have to wear that awful orange anymore, he'll buy her some nice red dresses. And we need to get somebody who knows how to coach damn football, because this clown doesn't.
JB, thank you. I just don't want to attack or get on Dooley in that manner. You're certainly entitled to your opinion, and you want to state it in that way. That's certainly.
Tony, thanks for doing this, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, JB. Thank you. And it certainly is the fifth quarter. And as you can hear, there are things going on at various households now, because we have several people who are now open and can talk if they want to, and I'm being told by my webmaster that you can do that. If you'd like to get on a chat board and let people know that we're out here tonight and we'll keep this thing going, that's fine. I hear somebody, the old lady's getting on them there in the background. It's always good when you open mics. So you can't do this. God knows what's going to get out right now, but there are no airwaves. You might want to delete whatever that is there, webmaster. Sounds like a car crash. I want North Carolina to say something to me right now in the fifth quarter. North Carolina, I'm up. You're up. You're just among friends, and you're over there in North Carolina. Talk to me.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Look. I'm from, of course, from North Carolina, East Carolina territory. Doug Harbaugh's all right, AD in 89. He's the guy. He's going to make the right decision. He's going to replace this guy with somebody that makes – this is Tennessee. We're talking about Tennessee here. I'm an independent observer. Tennessee Volunteers do not deserve what's happening to them. This is Tennessee, volunteer football, big-time university, peacetime program. I mean, they'll play Mississippi State tonight. Is that like MPSU on steroids, maybe? You know, Tennessee does not deserve this regime.
I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, at some point, sometimes in life, when it's time to make a change, you know, whether it's a self-inflicted thing, you know, whether you have an addiction, or I know, and I have friends that have gone through that, and God bless them. But at some point, you wake up and you go, man, I can't live like this anymore. Got to make a change.
Tennessee is a proud program that
I believe it.
That does not deserve the fans to have. Once they're in the tournament talking about it like this way, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's disturbing. I mean, you're up, yeah. I'm up, and the truth is, people would say, well, you guys are insane. Here's the thing we know. We know how beautiful and fun this can be. And it's not just the winning and losing. It's the it's the hopelessness. That's what it is. It's the hopelessness.
It's the despair. It's despair.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
And Tennessee is just too much of a big time program to be in this position. You know, that's how it is. But I think Dave Hart will make the right decision shortly, and I hope he does, because Tennessee does not have to be in this position. They really don't. And you know, what I see as an independent observer with Tennessee players is on the field, they really have the attitude of they don't think, it's like they don't want to be there. That's the mood that comes across, is that they're like confused on defense,
yeah.
And they just have the attitude that they really don't want to be there. You know, they're not happy to be there, to be playing for Tennessee, to be playing football for some reason. And I don't know if that's coaching or whatever it is. You know, I think it's coaching is a large part of it. But they come across as a bunch of guys sitting around the field that really don't want to be there for some reason. So that's my independent observance of it, and I hope that some of that needs to change. You know, because Tennessee's just too good of a program, too proud of a tradition. You know, and that's something that just hard to look at. You know, it really is. Anyway,
you know,
that's my two cents on it.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate your call. And I tell you what I like, what you're saying, is just keep this. This is not about Derek Dooley. It's not.
Well, it is. Well, it kind of is. But
it's about
you're right. It's about the family. It's about the.
That's right.
It's about your tradition. You know.
That's right. And the program, you know what the program needs? The program needs an intervention. That's what this program needs now. Tonight, you know, I'm all willing to give people chances.
Yeah.
You can't go to Mississippi State and get beat going away and tell
but
me.
But Derek Dillard has had a chance. I mean, and he's
sure
done a fairly decent job, but not good enough.
You know, decent in this league, you don't get paid $1 million to be decent. You get paid $300,000 or $400,000 at Memphis to be decent. You get paid a couple hundred grand at Louisiana Tech to be decent. But
well,
I'll tell you, decent here doesn't cut it.
Well said.
We don't hire you.
Oh, stop it. It's gross.
I agree, it is gross. Thank you, North Carolina. Great talking with you. I got to get Team Zero in here.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, North Carolina. I've got like 5 or 6 callers open right now, and I'm going to call for Team Zero. Team Zero, can you tell me something this morning? Good morning to you. You're on the fifth quarter.
Good morning. Buddy, I can't tell you anything. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I can.
talk to me, Team Zero.
This is Ryan. I'm a ball fan from here in Southern Illinois, and it's hard when you have a program that's in the for someone like me as far away as I am. It's hard when there's not a buzz, and to really get fans from outside of Tennessee, really get recruits from out of Tennessee, you have to have somebody that can move that needle. And right now, I'm not sure Derek Dooley is that person.
Yeah.
I just don't think he is, Tony.
Well put. Here's the reality. Reality is you're dealing with a five-star league with five-star coaches, and he's a three-star coach to this point, recruiting three-star kids. And you know what happens when you have enough of that? You go to Miss State tonight, and you could be going away. Even second straight game, you've made enough plays to win a game on the road. You know what I mean? I mean, Tennessee made enough plays tonight to win that game. But it's not enough. Webmaster, you're going to have to key some people out. That's too distracting to me. It's 1:45, and you're rattling my brain. I know you like anarchy, but we got to have some semblance of order to this thing. But you're in Southern Illinois. Where in Illinois are you?
It's a little town called Chester. It's about 65 miles southeast of St. Louis.
Oh, okay. Very good. Love St. Louis. Let's talk about this for a second. You know, the Cardinals last night in baseball, another example of a team that never believed they were going to get beat, even when it was 7-0 in that game last night. Those guys are 6-0. Those guys never believed that they were going to lose. You could tell. And Tennessee tonight, I saw a team that never believed they were going to win. And let me tell you, man, you play team sports, you follow team sports, you're around it, you know enough about it. The belief is something that comes from the top of your organization, and it filters right on down to your water boys. And I don't get from Tennessee in this regime that they're ever going to win anytime soon. I just don't. Am I wrong?
Do you sense that's just coaching, or are you speaking of a higher level than that? Do you think commitment's there?
No, I'm talking about the coaching. I think Dave Hart is a guy who's already shown us the way he's handled the Lady Vol stuff. He's not playing around, and he's going to play for keeps, and he's going to do what he's going to take to make this thing right. I think it's really critical that Tennessee fans, and I'm not here to rally against Dooley, I'm not, but I think it's really critical right now for Tennessee fans to be heard and to be seen and to say to him and others that we deserve and we demand better. We just do. And it's nothing against our current head coach. He's trying. And you know what? I'm not going to say that he hasn't tried. I'm not going to say that he hasn't worked hard. I'm not going to say he's been a lazy recruiter. He hasn't been. He's trying. But the reality is, it's not enough.
Well, there's no try in this league, so.
That's exactly right.
You have to win.
That's true.
Thank you. I'm going to let you go. I've got to get
Thank you.
To sleep. It's late here. I know I'm an hour behind you guys, but it's still late
yeah,
here now.
Late.
So
yeah, it's late.
Thank you for the call. Take care,
Thank
Tony.
You, Brian. Thank you. So if it's late for you, what is it for me? It's time for me to keep it going. Do we have somebody else that wants to talk to us this morning on the fifth quarter and just get it off your chest tonight as a family, as we just sort of get together and we admire what has happened to our football program, because it is incredible to me tonight that we were run away from at the end of a game, a two-score game by Mississippi State. And I was actually sitting there for a second thinking, man, I'm really proud of this team. And somebody looked at me in the place where I was tonight at Mulligan's and said, dude, you better snap out of it because you sound like a Vanderbilt fan. And I kind of did a double take because it was about 12:15 at night or in the morning, and I went, you know what? You're right. You're right. But that's what we're turning into right now, isn't it? Anybody left that would like to jump in here and just sort of get it off your chest?
Tony.
Order. Yes, who's this?
Tony, it's JM.
Hey, JM, welcome. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I want to give our fan base a lot of props. Can you still hear me? Sorry.
Yeah, I love it. Go ahead.
We've all been kicked in the groin so many times and keep coming back for more, week after week, loss after loss. And, you know, I'm checking my Twitter feed tonight, and just everybody's hanging right in there, you know, just come on, let's get a stop, D, you know, let's win this, you know. And here it is 2 a.m, and I'm sitting here listening to your show, and people are calling in trying to figure out how we're going to get this thing fixed. And I think we've got the best fans in America. And I don't know, maybe that's not what people want to hear right now, but I mean, you've got to give our fan base credit.
I think there's, I think where I'm coming from tonight is wholeheartedly that note, and that's that this fan base is a long-suffering and patient bunch. This fan base deserves a lot better than they've been getting from their football program. And for that matter, across the board from the administration and all the above, tonight, in watching that game, there was a ton of Tennessee fans at that game. That was very impressive to me, extremely impressive to me. And I think it's remarkable, the crowd before the Florida game, thinking about that afternoon, I close my eyes here and I see my kids at the Vol walk, and I'm flanked behind them because I want them to be close. People are lined up. There must have been on that little path there. There must have been, oh, JM, 10,000 people. I've never seen that many people in my life jammed into one little area. And I've been to a couple victory parades in my Philadelphia days. I'm just talking about the fact that the hunger and thirst is there for this program to return to some semblance of prominence. And, you know, JM, when you go out and you just look like that tonight, like we did at times, it's just so sad to consider what has become of our proud football program. And, yes, the fan base deserves so much better. They just deserve so much more. When is it going to end? That's my question. When is it going to end, JM? What do you think?
Testing. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, when's it going to end, JM?
I don't know, man. You know, the thing that I'm so tired of is it seems like every week our opponent has this highlight reel of SportsCenter plays. And then we have these bloopers, you know, stuff that you haven't seen on a football field in the last 15 years happens to us. Just weird stuff, you know, like that kickoff tonight that we didn't field. And they recover, you know, just stuff you don't ever see. And I'm just kind of tired of that sloppy football. I'm just over that.
Absolutely. I mean, they had a tight end tonight make a play that when it was live, I said, there's no way in the world. I said, that's coming back. They showed that replay, JM, and that kid went up, got that freaking ball, and snatched it out of there, and somehow got his foot down and did it all in one motion. And I'm thinking to myself, like you're talking about, that's Joe Adams territory right there. That's like the year territory, and it happens to us on a weekly basis. And tonight, Moore had that interception right in his hands, and he dropped it like it was hot.
And, Tony, I've become so negative, and my poor wife here is sick of it, but I mean, every play I'm predicting before the play what disaster is going to occur. I'm saying, you know, we're going to fumble right here, you know, or here comes a shank.
Right.
You know, just every play I'm, like, predicting the bad thing that's going to happen. I've just become so negative, and I'm so miserable about everything. And I just want to wake up, Tony, on Sunday morning and open up the paper and watch the coaches show and feel good, you know? So I don't know. And I'm like you. I don't blame Dooley. He was hired to do a job that he can't do. It's not his fault, really.
No, JM, it could just as easily be me or you in that position. And believe me, I can't do it. I don't know about you. But I wouldn't want to try and do it. But here's the thing. You said something that's very interesting there that we need to ponder, which is this. I believe after a while, if we're thinking like that, I believe this football team's thinking like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I believe this quarterback we have thinks to himself, man, what's the next shoe that's going to drop? I don't see him over there rallying those guys. I don't see, and I'm not picking on him because tonight, you know what? Tonight I thought he played his best football game that I've seen him play outside of the NC State game this year. I thought he played within himself. I didn't think he took crazy chances. I thought he made some decent checks at the line of scrimmage. I think they did what they needed to do in terms of the running game. And poor Devron Young played his heart out there. And yes, he did fumble the ball before on a punt return, but they got it back. And yes, he did fumble that one ball trying to make a play. But I don't fault people for trying to make plays. I thought that
Tony, the kids are playing hard. They're poorly coached. They're out of position.
They are poorly coached.
But they're giving it all they've got, I feel like. The effort's there. They're just, it's disorganized. It's just miscommunication with the coaches. I don't think the coaches communicate with each other well. Everything's a Chinese fire drill, and the kids are just doing what they're told.
You got Buddy Kent Hackett, our defensive coordinator, who is just screaming tonight. And when he starts screaming, his one eye turns inwards. He looks like a goose from WWF back in the day. I mean, what is Buddy Kent Hackett doing over there? Because he ain't coaching. I don't know what Buddy Kent Hackett is doing. But JM, brother, it ain't coaching.
And the special teams coach, he kind of looks like Bud Ford to me.
Charlie Coyner, who's aptly named because tonight, after those two special teams gaffes, you couldn't have got a quarter up his rectum with a crane. Thank you, JM.
Hey, Tony, real
yeah.
quick, if I'm
yeah.
still unmuted, I just want to say one last thing. I know that this is a top 10 program, and I know where it should be. And don't anybody that's out there listening, don't let the people on 990, don't let John Pennington tomorrow morning tell you that this is a middle-of-the-pack program. It's not. Don't accept that. We've got to get back.
Couldn't agree with you more. Thank you, JM. We've got several other folks on hold. I'm being told by my producer, but what we've done is we've just opened it up here because we don't have a producer. This is Rogue Radio all the way. This is not sponsored by anybody. I'm not making a dime for doing this. I'm doing this because I can't sleep. I'm doing this because I can't sleep, and you're doing it because you can't sleep. Collectively, we can't sleep. We need to get lives. but we're together as a family tonight, as a fan base, and we are sitting here trying to make sense of what we saw tonight down in Starkville, Mississippi, which is a Mississippi State victory over a Tennessee team that is just so much better than Mississippi State talent-wise. They just are. They just are. But again, Tennessee's defense, JB ran through some abhorrent stats that he was charting as the game was going on. And one thing I've learned is I don't mess with JB when he starts spitting out stats. I get out of the way. I put my bib on. I take my shirt and I tuck it in. And I grab my mechanical pencil and I start writing as quickly as I can. I will ask those who are on hold or those whose lines are open and you know who you are. Is there anybody else who'd like to jump in here now? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here.
Who's this?
Tony, this is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, welcome.
What's going on, man? I tell you what, Tony, you know, this Dilly experiment, it really needs to end. You know, man, at some point, you got to give some hope out there. I mean, you're not giving hope to the fan base, that's for sure, but you're not giving hope to the players because they sure as hell don't play like, you know, that they have hope. They you know, it's just the same to be the same thing all the time. You know, at some point, you got to win a damn football game. You know, you just can't go on like this, man. Tony, you know, some of the things I see where Dooley is really, really screwed up. Of course, you know, the hiring of Sunseri. I mean, you know, you're in the crucial spot, and I know it's been said over and over tonight. But you know, you're in a must-win a year, and you know, if you want a good example, and I know South Carolina is built up a lot more than we are right now. But when they lost Ellis Johnson, when Spurrier lost Ellis Johnson, and he goes to Southern Miss. He didn't have some big national surge looking to bring in a new defensive coordinator. No, he promoted from within his staff. You know, and you know, hindsight's 20/20 and all that. But you've got a 28th ranked defense nationally last year, okay? Why in the hell wouldn't you promote from within and hire Lance Thompson as your defensive coordinator? He's been a defensive coordinator before. Down at Central Florida, you know, you've coached alongside the guy at LSU, and you know, I mean, that would have made a heck of a lot more sense, don't you think so?
I 1,000% agree with you. 1,000%. The hire of Sal Sunseri, who I am now referring to as Buddy Can't Hack It, is Jerry. It is mystifying that you would take a chance like that with a guy who literally has no track record. And if I see the stat one more time, that Sal Sunseri, a.k.a. Buddy Can't Hack It, has won two national championships at Alabama, I'm going to vomit. How many coaches do we have to see come off that staff before we realize that the guy that's winning national championships down there is the guy who is the body double for Huey Lewis in the Hip to Be Square video circa 1988. His name is Nick Saban. He's the guy winning the national championships. Not Buddy Can't Hack It. Buddy Can't Hack It might have a couple of rings. Give me a break, Jerry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Look, I agree with you, Tony. I mean, the defense is just atrocious.
Awful.
And, man, you would think with an off week to prepare,
right.
You know, you got some momentum coming off the Georgia game because, yeah, you went out there and fought. But,
right.
You know, you come out there tonight, and my goodness, you know, their offense over Mississippi State is nothing special. I mean, you know, what have they popped out over 30 points once this year before tonight? And that was against a lower division opponent. I mean, and they just picked you apart tonight. I mean, it was embarrassing,
Jerry,
what I saw
Jerry,
out there.
Jerry, here's the party line, though. And I'm just going to make a prediction for you. The party line is the 990 party line. And I don't want to get into this, but I'm going to because I can't help myself. My brain shut off about a half hour ago, so now I'm on fumes. The party line, Jerry, is give the guy a chance in the second year his defense is going to improve. And to that I say, absolutely not. No. This is your chance. This is your chance. Seize the day. Seize the day. And they're not doing it. That tonight was horrendous. And here's the thing. Mississippi State just cat and mouse with us because when they had to have it late in the football game, did you notice how they went back to attacking the edges again? Did you notice how they started throwing the ball?
There's never any adjustments, man.
Never any adjustments.
I mean, you know, we just sit back and let people kick the crap out of us. Here's my thing, Tony. I support my coach till I can't support him no more. And after tonight, I mean, come on. Barring some miracle that we were to beat Alabama or South Carolina, which is nothing but a pipe dream. Okay, it's a pipe dream. You got to blow this guy out of here. I mean, you know, and you know what I think about Derek Dooley? You know, this guy's probably cut out more to be an athletic director than a head coach. Because, hell, man, he's got his hands in everything down there.
Yeah.
You know, Ball for Life and, Ball for Life. Come on, that's something your AD should be dreaming up. I mean, he's got his hands everywhere except where it needs to be. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, he's not focused on the team. It's just if the team's not focused on him, he just cannot get it done. It doesn't look to me like he can motivate players. It doesn't look like his players, you know, go out there and play their rear ends off week in and week out. I mean, they just don't. And you know, another thing, while we're on it, hell, I can keep picking stuff. But, you know, for the life of me, Tony, let's talk about Brent Brewer. And I don't really like singling out players. But at some point, you think those coaches would go, okay, this guy's killing us. And everybody and their brother is picking on him. At some point, don't you go, you know what, the only way I can use this kid is on my special teams. But they keep running him back out there, you know, and the other side is going after him night and day. You know, the same thing with Teague, Marcellus Teague. He shouldn't be in a secondary. The kid's a receiver, okay? And a B receiver, if you will. You know, he's not even a – you know, he's a compliment piece. He is, you know, he doesn't belong back there.
Here's
but
the
they,
thing that kills
they run him out there.
The thing that kills me is Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon's a playmaker in their secondary, and they say, well, he does a great ad on film, blah, 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 blah. You have a defense where people just don't make plays, and they don't make plays all over the place. Why would I take a guy off the field who tonight almost jumped a route, if you saw it, and almost made a spectacular play, but the guy is just a big play player back there. But their solution in the off week was to give the Tony kid, God bless him, play hard. His father is a good man. Those are good people. But there's no way in the world that you can't convince me that that Gordon kid isn't one of their four best defensive backs on that football team. You can't.
I agree with
me of that. But they, but their solution was to pull one of their playmakers off the field, and that makes no sense.
You know, man, what's going to happen next week? You remember in Phillips last year, Tony, the Alabama people come up here and they basically took over that stadium in the second half. And I tell you what, I think the same thing. I think it's going to be an Alabama tailgate party in our stadium Saturday. You know, it's not going to be pretty. I mean, I'm just, I'm frustrated. Yeah, I've been following this thing a long time. You know, something, your buddy, and I listen to you all the time. You know, Beano. You know, Beano said something that still sticks in my head. And I think this was back before this season started. He said, you know, we may find out that while Derek Dooley may not be what we need here as a head coach, he may be a good transition coach. And I think that's exactly what he is. He's upgraded the program. But, you know, the one thing I think, you know, they've recruited pretty well. But, you know, Tony, I think the one mistake they made, you know, it was they zeroed in on the offensive side of the football. They tried to build it up. You know, they got lucky. You know, Bray was around from the Kiffin thing. But they recruited some nice ball players on that side of the football.
And we're very deep over there at offensive line. You know, of course, we need some real tailbacks. But the defensive side of the ball, that's where the talent lacks, man. You know, you've got a few good players sprinkled without over there. But and what wins football games in this league, Tony? You look at Alabama. You look at LSU. You look at South Carolina. It's the same thing it's always been in this league. You've got to run the dang football, and you've got to play defense. You know, you can run all the little hurry-up offenses you want, and you can have all the receivers you want, but if you're not balanced enough, you know, to run that football, grind away the clock, instead of constantly keeping your defense out there, you are not going to win at a high level in this league.
No, you're exactly right. And if you don't run the football, you're just a pretender. That's all you are. Contenders in this league are the teams that, when the time comes, are just tougher than you are. And you know what? We let a Mississippi State team tonight beat us that has absolutely, in my opinion, they've got a couple of nice players, but that is a football team that if you have a decent football program, they don't beat you. You know, did you see statistically what Troy did to them several weeks back? Now they ran Kentucky off the field last week, but look at what Kentucky did tonight with Arkansas. Embarrassing. I mean, Kentucky's embarrassing. And they beat us last year. Now I want you to think about that for a second.
That's
true. Program. They beat us. And you know, here's the reality. We don't want to believe this. That's where we are. And I don't get hope. All I want is a little bit of hope. I just want a sliver of hope. I want to believe in this Dooley guy so bad. I tell you what, if you can talk me into it, I'll talk everybody else into it. I don't believe. Jerry, I don't believe. And I want to believe.
Go ahead.
I just want to believe. That's all I want. That's all I want.
Yeah, well, I'm the same way. I mean, you know, like we said, who has this guy beat since he's been in the league, man? Vanderbilt? I mean, really? I mean, we've you know, at least I'll say this, and I don't get in the past here. At least, you know, Kiffin gave us hope. Yeah, he may have torpedoed it when he left, but he gave us hope. You know, he went out there and he took Alabama to the wire. You know, he beat Georgia. He beat South Carolina. There was hope again. Derek Dooley has killed the hope. And now, you know what? It's not even going to be a football decision that's going to blow him out of here. It's going to be a business decision, as much as a football decision, because, you know, you're not going to sell tickets next year. And, my God, you know, what is going to happen at some of these later games? Yeah, people are going to turn out maybe to see, a bad Missouri team, which, you know, after we come out of this stretch with Alabama and South Carolina, you've got to wonder where the heck those kids' heads are going to be at. Where are they going to be at? Do you lose to a Vanderbilt this year because your head's not there now? Because you've just given up all hope? I mean, these kids know what's going on with this guy. They know he's never beat a ranked football team. He just does not exude hope. And what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to go out here, and they can't go hire Kirby. You know, I hear people talking hiring Kirby Smart. There is no way in hell you can go out here and hire what I call another project coach, like a Derek Dooley. Bring him in here and hope things go better. You got to bring in a proven commodity. And even the first call I would make, seriously, I would call Dan Mullen. You know, all the talk, people talk about Gruden, it's probably unrealistic, okay? You know, you're talking about having to knock on the door of your biggest donors because there's not a lot of cash in the kitty down there right now. And we both know there's people in this town that will step up, okay? But I don't think they're going to do that. So what do? You, like I say, you can't bring that guy you can't bring a Kirby Smart. So I would go look at Dan Mullen. Of course, I'd give Charlie Strong a look up at Louisville. But, you know, if you can sell him, and I don't know that he's the greatest answer, but you would think Bob Petrino, if he was to get another crack, if you can sell it to the academic people over there, bringing him in light of what's happened with him and his personal life and everything. You know, Bob Petrino is going to fill that stadium up, and there will be hope because Bob Petrino can win some football games. But those guys, I know you mentioned Al Golden. I think the only thing that kills an Al Golden, and I love Al Golden. I mean, you're right about that Temple program, what he did over there. And, he, you know, he's not doing too bad of a job down in Miami. But, you know, his name has come up, I think, in another little mess down there in Miami. And I think that might, you know, that might X him out. So, but what do you think on a Bob Petrino or a Dan Mullen?
Oh, listen, I said earlier, I can't tell you enough how surprising this Mullen guy is and just how solid his football team is. And he's so good relating with their nation, their Bulldog Nation. Those people just absolutely love that guy. And, you know, they took a little step back last year, but, man, they have taken a huge step forward this year. And it's hard for me to believe that Dan Mullen, if Tennessee called him, wouldn't crawl on his belly on broken glass to get the Tennessee job after being there. I mean, they play in a high school stadium. They are competing with several different teams in that state for players. The Derek Dooley would have built him a real nice practice facility. I mean, my favorite shot of Dooley, and I'm not going to pick on Dooley, but the shot of him, Jerry, with that hard hat on when he's leading the media around, like he's some kind of project manager. I mean, what in the hell is that? Are you coaching football or are you a project manager? What are you, dude, with the safety glasses on? I mean, that's our head coach. Philip Fulmer wouldn't have been caught dead in a hard hat with the safety glasses. Are you kidding me? But that's what we've become, Jerry. And I thank you for pouring your heart out tonight. It was really great spending a few minutes with you this morning. And I do appreciate your kind words, and I appreciate you being there this morning.
Well, hey, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate your show, and I appreciate this tonight. You know, hell, I'm up a little late tonight for me, but, you know, who's going to sleep after that debacle? Anyway, good talking to you, Tony.
Well put, Jerry. I've been told that our call is going to shut off in 5 minutes due to the apparatus we're using tonight. They give us a two-hour limit. We have a two-hour window. And so I'll ask, is there anyone else that would like to...
Tony.
Yes, who's this?
It's Jamie.
Jamie, hello, welcome.
Hey, man. Hey, real quick, pleasure meeting your son tonight. Well-married kid. Well done, sir. Tony, the mood of the fans is disheartening, man, but I want everybody out there just to remember, you know, there's a lot of pride in this university, and there's a lot of heavy hitters that aren't going to put up with this crap. So kind of keep your chin up, guys. It's coming. You know, you can't do what this guy's done and stay. It's over. There's no prayer for the guy, and the sooner the better. But guys, we've got so many good players over there that are going to come back in a few years and hang out at tailgates for other UT football games, and they're going to have to sit there with other guys that played in different eras, and they're going to be sharing stories with each other. It's going to come to them. It's going to come to Bray or Hunter or CP or Lathers or Jacquez Smith, and they're going to be, you know, hey, man, tell me some great stories of when you played. And it's just like poor JM was saying, well, I was on top 10 every week of somebody running an 80-yard punt down my throat. You know, and these guys deserve better, man, and the Tennessee fans deserve better. And I'm, you know me, I can't find a sports show that I won't call in on. So I think I'm gonna hit it off every day this week. But have you seen enough yet? Because I have, and you know that. And after tonight, I was sweating it there, Tony. You saw it. But I should have known. Derek Dooley would snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. He had every chance in the world. I was telling you, Dan Mullen's playing way too conservative to win this football game. Heck, they didn't even score in the third quarter. But, Tony, it's enough, you know, from what Derek Dooley was able to accomplish tonight, I think the casket door was just slammed shut on him. I think the heavy hitters out there are already up twitching this morning with us. So I know we're up against it, man, but thanks for everything you do, and thanks for being on the fifth quarter, bro.
Jamie, thank you. It's been an interesting program. You know, I'm really proud of the reserve nature of folks tonight. There hasn't been a lot of yelling and screaming and cussing and fighting and a lot of finger pointing and a lot of agenda driven stuff. I think we all want to see Tennessee football get back to the point where we can just feel good about it. I know I do. Here's the thing that I know comfortably. Basketball season's right around the corner, and that may or may not be your cup of tea. Konzo Martin is a very, very solid coach. He's a solid guy. He's a solid disciplinarian. He came in here with experience of having had some success elsewhere. He had a successful playing career. He demands respect. He's doing it on and off the court. And I, when I think of Konzo Martin, do I think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread? No. I think he's pretty darn good, though. And I have a lot of hope. When I think of Derek Dooley, I think of a hopeless loser. And I don't mean that as harshly as it sounds. John Lennon said it best. He said, I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. Maybe you're not. But the fact that you appear to be, is enough for me to say, I think it's time to start the conversation going forward as to where we're going as a football program. Because I don't think after the next couple of weeks, barring the unforeseen, we're going to be doing it with Derek Dooley at the helm. And that said, I want to thank Bronco ZR tonight for pushing the buttons. I want to thank everybody who participated. I want to thank our callers who called in from as far away as Iowa, Illinois, South Carolina. I know Jerry Colquitt's listening out in Greater Seattle tonight. We've got a guy on hold from Osaka, Japan, I've been told. Kuwait, Qatar, Qatar, Barbados, Bahrain. I want to thank everybody who participated tonight. I want to thank the GovBone for giving me three losers this weekend, as he's done for the last three consecutive weekends. You've turned a degenerate gambler into a degenerate loser. I want to thank Derek Dooley for providing the backdrop against which the fifth quarter tonight proceeded. Coach, please, please, Coach, it's nothing personal. It's nothing personal. We love you. God bless. Go Vols. We shall get back.